Hey, people, welcome back to another episode of Last Christian. We're having a fun time just talking about the Giants lately. We're going to continue along those lines as well here. It's amazing how much is in the Bible about the Giants, even though it's really Genesis chapter 6 for a couple of verses there. But the implications of it are elsewhere. And I'm sure, JD, you're going to have a gazillion questions. And that we're going to answer those, too.
Well, you know me, David. I'm never short of questions.
Giants are everywhere, basically. So,
amen.
But as we're going to learn today, it's not just giants. They're like tiny ones, too. So that's going to be fun and exciting. And then some places you may be surprised to hear about where it's referring to things like this. But before we do all that, could you pray us into our show?
Absolutely. Father, we come to you and we ask that you please give us the guidance today to present this show in a way that is meaningful to those that are listening. And we hope to reach that individual that we're waiting for, that last Christian before the rapture of the church that you have promised that is coming. We know that time is short, Father, and we ask you to please give us the words and the inspiration to get through this show and to reach that individual before it is too late. Father, thank you for everything that you have given us, and we give you all praise and glory for this show and for everyone that takes the time to view it. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
We agree. Amen. So, I'm usually like talking about a ton of different things here. Where did we kind of leave off last time?
You know, I don't really remember, David. You know, we had a couple more shows in there before we got back to this one.
Some fun prophecy shows. Too,
yeah, and it's hard to remember, but
we talked about the Sethite theory.
We did, yeah, and that was something that was new to me and something that I still don't understand why even people pay attention to it.
That doesn't make any sense. It's akin with, people try and dismiss it because it's really, really hard for some people to accept that angels actually morphed and had sex with women.
Right.
So I can understand that's, you know, hard to grasp that. But the bottom line is it happened. Mm-hmm. So you kind of got to deal with it. But instead of doing that, especially cults or the lame church will try and dismiss it in a lot of ways. And that all started way back with Augustine and stuff, and he's like, he didn't want to upset the powers that be, so he's like, oh no, it's all metaphorical. Jesus rules in our heart now. And that's coming back too. That's making a big one now, preterism. That all happened in 70 AD. No, it didn't. Okay, you didn't have 200 million man army coming out of the abyss yet. Satan hasn't been locked up in Hades for 1,000 years yet. And, if Jesus is ruling on the earth, we got some problems. He's not doing a real good job right now. Yeah. So I dare say no. It hasn't happened yet.
Well, you know, there's even a group, David, we do have a new Telegram channel. Everybody needs to pay attention to it. It's the Last Christian Radio Show. You can get that there. But anyway, there's a group that I follow on Telegram, and the guy that runs it, he's all excited about the fact that there's going to be a blood moon in the United States. And, I just told him, I said, no. Yeah, if it's not visible in Israel, it's irrelevant. So, let's move on from that,
Not even that. I mean, how many have we had?
Yeah.
It's like every few months there's another blood moon.
Right. There's just not any reason for people to get all excited about, about things like that. What you need to do is you need to wake up every day and look up and say, is today the day? And just go with that, because only God knows the day and the hour. So, our job is to be ready, and that's what we try to teach on this particular show. But anyway, that's a whole nother show, David. Go ahead. Let's get into your teaching.
Yeah, along those lines, Deuteronomy 29:29 tells us, hey, listen, there's secret things of the Lord, and then there's things that you're supposed to do. So yeah, we're supposed to seek out a matter, but seek out the matter that He has for us. The short story is that a lot of people in prophecy will try and understand the secret things that he says, these are only for the Lord to understand.
Right.
And then so they get all messed up and they're like, oh, it means this and it means that. And mm-hmm. they come up with all sorts of nonsense, which is why we try and keep it just level here. What is God telling us? You know, and mm-hmm. we'll just keep the secret things to him. And even John, when he was, you know, writing the book of Revelation, he said the seven thunders and he's about to write them down. He's like, nope, mm-hmm. don't write that one.
Right.
Oh, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there are some things that we're not supposed to know, like the moment of his return.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, for us to say, oh, it's going to be this day or that day. Well, I hope so, but that's yeah. not for us to do.
Right.
Or else, you know, if we knew the day, then, you know, people 100 years ago, they can do whatever they want. Doesn't matter. Yeah. It's not going to yeah. be for 100 years.
Right. Yeah. You could party right up until day, until very, very end there and then yep. try to squeeze your way in at the last second.
Stick your foot in the door. Okay. So we try and make up these things. Well, that's another way that's why the Sethite theory came out. They're trying to make stuff up to just, you know, water down the Bible.
Right.
Another one I heard is, and I only heard it once, and I was like, where'd that come from? Is that the Nephilim were actually separate from the fallen angels.
Hmm.
And the idea was in Genesis 6:4, it talks about the, you know, in chapter 6, we know the sons of God saw the daughters of men and they were fair and they took wives. And he said there were giants in the earth in those days and also after that in verse 4.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he takes that and he says, oh, they were already in the land. And then they were there afterwards. So it couldn't have anything to do with the fallen angels. I was like, what?
Yeah.
So he thinks that's like a separate thing when in fact he didn't read the rest of the verse. It says
right.
when the sons of God came into the daughters of men and they bare children unto them and these same became mighty men which are of old, men of renown. So I don't know how he read the first half of the verse but not the second half.
Well, it's a cherry picker, you know. I mean, yeah. I run into cherry pickers all the time, and you know, you can take a verse of the Bible, and unfortunately, we have a lot of politicians that do this. They grab, you know, they grab one verse out of the Bible, take it completely out of context, and twist it and turn it in a way to where they look like that they're quoting Bible scripture when in fact they're corrupting the scripture that they're reading.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then,
way too often.
Well, that's what Satan does all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the first thing. Did God really say that? Did he say right. you shouldn't eat that fruit?
Yeah. Go back and that. For you guys out there that don't know what he just said, go back and look at some of our early early episodes of this weekly Bible study, and we went in depth in that in the early parts of Genesis. Go ahead, mm-hmm. David.
That's fun and exciting as well.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are. We talked about Genesis. We talked about this, the giants coming into the earth. We talked about the watchers who came down on Mount Hermon. Mm-hmm. And that was interesting itself. The where I want to go today is what happened along the way. Because it wasn't just the Nephilim.
Okay.
It says here in verse 12, Genesis 6:12, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean? And then God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, and the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy the earth. It's like, oh, that's exciting.
So that's basically the same type. Maybe I'm getting ahead of you here, but basically the same type of corruption and activity going on back in that time as the same as today, as
yes.
in the days of Noah, we're there again.
Yep, and here we are in the days of Noah. Why he did that? And specifically why? So we're going to look into that now. We also looked in Enoch chapter 7. It talked about the 200 that descended in the days of Jared. So we have a council that was up there. And God had a council you know, Psalm 82, right? He had a whole council, and he allowed people to rule and reign with him. Although he is prophet, priest, and king, he allows us as priests to make judgments on things, mm-hmm. and we'll rule with him. Just like he did with the council that was before, some of them went their own way.
Yeah.
That's not a good thing. But he will allow us to be that council as well. Don't you know you'll judge angels, he said. Mm. So we'll be part of his council, because he doesn't come and just say, I'm the iron-handed ruler and you're just going to go my every beck and call. Mm. Well, yeah, we are to follow because he is the righteous ruler, but right. we rule and reign along with him. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be exciting. But these guys fell. So check this out. In Enoch chapter 7, it says, and all the others together took them wives, each mm-hmm. chose for himself one, and they began to go into them and defile themselves with them, and they taught them charms and enchantments and the cutting of roots, and made them acquainted with plants, and they became pregnant, mm-hmm. and they bare great giants. So, I mean, if you're reading Enoch, that kind of dismisses your complete Nephilim right. were there and mm-hmm. not the watchers. Mm-hmm. It says right here, they were watchers. Matter of fact, there's even talk in different cultures how they were great giants, and they were like these evil, horrible-looking half-breeds. Mm-hmm. And that the woman actually couldn't handle it, and it talks about them having to do, basically it's called them butchering them. They would cut them open like a cesarean to get the babies out, and the women would die. Mm. Okay. Because of it. And you can imagine if you got this baby and it starts to grow the size of a Nephilim inside of you, you better get that out quick.
Yeah.
And so Enoch 7 said they became pregnant and they bare great giants whose height was 3,000 ells, who consumed all the acquisitions of men. So they started to eat everything, mm-hmm. everything that men would gather, and they would make them gather. Mm-hmm. They would just eat it, and it wasn't enough for them, because it says, and when men could no longer sustain them, the giants turned against them and devoured mankind. Yeah. So they started to eat men. Mm-hmm. And they began to sin against birds and beasts and reptiles and fish, to devour one another's flesh and to drink the blood. And the earth laid accusation against the lawless ones. Mm-hmm. So we see they started to sin against all the other beasts as well. And yeah. there are those, you know, before the flood, it says, hey, you can eat all these nice plants. And it wasn't until after the flood where he told Noah to, okay, now you can eat the animals. Right. So mm-hmm. basically we were vegetarians before the flood, because mm-hmm. everything was different back then. The plants could sustain you, and they didn't have as much oxalates in them, and they had much more protein, and they were designed for that. But after the flood, mm-hmm. everything changed. Mm-hmm. So now it won't sustain us. We need the animals that eat the plants. We have to ingest them because that ended the metabolism. But that's a whole other thing.
Well, David, so, I've got to ask you, you know me. Yeah. Here comes stupid question number one. The book of Enoch, I see no issues with it. I believe that this is a valid writings that are here. Mm-hmm. That's my personal opinion, but I believe it. Why in the world was it left out of the canon? Do you have any insight into that?
I do. I have my personal conjecture.
Just opinion. I think I'm speaking for David when I say that, you know, when we get into something like this and we ask, like I asked that question and he's about to give his answer, this is our opinion of what is going on. It's not in the Bible, so we can't back it up and say it is canon, but we can have a strong opinion of it. And you know, mm-hmm. I don't know if I worded that well enough or not, David, but there you go. It is what it is.
my highly accurate and totally correct opinion.
There you go. I like that. Okay.
Yes, actually, there's a couple of reasons. Number one, the one we have, what we call First Enoch today, is actually mm-hmm. a conglomerate. They get the Book of Noah in there and stuff like that. So the original stuff that Enoch wrote is more, I think it goes up to like chapter 80. I have to look into that, somewhere around there. And then they added a few more writings in between, and they made it, oh, this is First Enoch. Well, you have the writings of Noah's in there, and you got some other stuff. But yes, right from the beginning, it's even quoted. Now, if you we take the Council of Nicaea and the Nicene, and they all kind of got together and decided, and they picked which ones are good and which ones are bad, you know?
Okay.
If you're going to do that, okay, then it's technically as mankind is there. Now, the Torah is demonstrable that it was, you know, dictated letter by letter to Moses.
Right.
Okay. And then as we get into the New Testament, there's other writings, and they kind of point back to that. Some people say, why isn't Thomas in there? Well, Thomas is kind of Gnostic, you know, and obviously the Gospel of Judas is a fake. But they kind of went through all these things. And Enoch was considered scripture by many. Now, here's the thing. Ezra, remember Ezra?
Yes.
All right, so there was a time in history they lost all the writings. Ezra and a few of his friends, God sat him down and said, I want you to rewrite everything again. Here's this great cup of coffee. He gave him this drink, and he's like, hey. And they all sat down for a few days, and he literally rewrote everything.
Right. Yes.
And that's in, you'll find that in the Ezra Apocalypse, or it's called Second Esdras, if you want to look that up. And that specifically states there's a set of books that are absolutely essential, the cliff notes, if you would.
Right.
Then those are for everyone, that they need to learn these basics first, and therein lies your salvation. In addition, if you are wise and you want to study some more, here's another set of books, which are going to further explain all of these things.
Okay.
So basically, this is where we're at.
Basically, what you're saying is that this, even though it isn't accurate, as far as the two of us anyway are concerned, this is an accurate writing, that it really isn't necessary, because it gives you greater detail. If it's a book that you go to if you do want to do further study, if you do want to dig deeper, but it's not essential to salvation, and that's the reason it's not included in the canon.
Correct.
Okay.
So what we term the canon. The problem is some people are, you know, they're not as smart as they should be. So they're like, oh, I can't read anything else. I can't read anything else. It's like, well, did you read your newspaper today? You know,
I guess they think they've read the Bible enough, David. They don't need any more information whatsoever.
And I get it. If you haven't like fully studied the Bible and you really don't know anything, if you're looking for stuff, go get the answers somewhere else.
Yeah.
I mean, you could read Jubilees, and it explains, well, what did Joseph do when he was in Egypt?
Right.
Let me tell you, that's some story.
I bet.
I
haven't read that yet myself. I mean, I have only in the last, I don't know, few years anyway, learned about the Book of Enoch and you know, Jubilees, and then you mentioned another one this morning before we even began taping.
Yeah. Book of the Upright.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm sorry for that. I know I got us a little bit off subject there. But
no, it's good to know. Now, there were some other books that were in here as well, Jasher's, Jubilees, Maccabees. That was more of a history one. There's a couple of weird things in Maccabees.
That one,
and
I've actually heard
like,
of.
Like, what do they call that? When you don't go to heaven or hell, you're like in a waiting area.
Hades?
It's not Hades. It's... Oh, I don't know why it escaped me. Anyway, but that'll come back in a minute. But the point is, they took them out. The Jews took them out because Enoch specifically, very powerfully, says the Son of Man comes. Now, remember, in our contract language, yeah, it has to be the Son of Man that pays for the sins of mankind. It has to be a man.
Amen.
And that was Jesus' favorite title for himself. I'm the Son of Man.
Yeah.
I'm the Son of Man, even though he was Almighty God.
Yeah.
And that's what even John says. If you know, whoever denies that Jesus has come in the flesh is the Antichrist. Because if Jesus did not become the Son of Man, then your sins aren't paid for, and you still have to pay for them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that becomes an issue. So you're the Antichrist to tell people that Jesus is not God and he did not come down to be a man.
Yeah,
so
and Jesus just to interject really quick, when David says that, you know, you're the Antichrist, he's not talking about the, quote unquote, the final, or not final, but the Antichrist of Revelation.
Yeah, that's a term that we just kind of put on him. He's never actually called the Antichrist. It's the spirit of Antichrist.
There you
or
go.
Or pseudo Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, the one that kind of assumes Christ's position, because even James says there's many antichrists.
Yeah, running around right now, a bunch of them.
Yeah, all over the place.
Yeah,
they're crawling out of the woodwork. But because Enoch specifically says the Son of Man will come, and he is the Savior, he is the Messiah, and he is going to rescue the earth, the Jews at the time, even though they liked the book of Enoch, they're like, this Jesus fella is calling himself the Son of Man.
Mm-hmm.
We got to hide this book, just like they hid Isaiah 56, or
53.
You know, where it says
it's in the 50s.
Clearly,
yeah.
Where he clearly says, you know, that God will give you his son.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He would call his name Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they took that out of the Bible too. Now the some sects of the Jews will not allow you to read that. They're like, no, they wrote that in afterward. No, they didn't. They found it in the Dead Sea Scroll.
They just don't want it in there. Okay, well, we went down that
rabbit
hole.
They didn't want Enoch in there.
We went down that rabbit hole a lot there, so sorry about that.
No, that was good.
Okay.
So what we need to do then is bring that back.
Okay.
Jude and Peter both quote Enoch, and they call Enoch a prophet. Okay?
Yeah.
And they had this. They even had writings. If you read Josephus, it talks about, hey, there was a book of Adam. Mm-hmm. You know, because people refer to it. I just can't find it right now.
Yeah.
And then it was a book of all the patriarchs, all of the, Jacob's kids, all the 12 tribes, all of them wrote a book to their offspring.
That brings up another stupid question. Was this included in the Dead Sea Scrolls? Were some of these?
Yes.
Okay.
They had all of them.
Okay.
Matter of fact, that's how Paul knew that he was called to be for the Gentiles, because Benjamin wrote it, and at the end of his testament, it says, one of my sons will be the apostle to the Gentiles when the Messiah comes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then he's like, wait a minute, I read that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm it. And that's what Jesus told him. He says, he's like, can I go to the Jews? Nah. But I know all this Jewish stuff. Don't worry about it. Peter's going to the Jews. You are going to the Gentiles. So that's what he says. Okay. It's from Benjamin. I am the apostle to the Gentiles. And that's where he got it from.
Okay.
From one of Benjamin's writing, the patriarchs. So when you read all this stuff, it all fits together. People have all these questions, which are legitimate if you don't know the answers.
Mm-hmm.
But they have answers. That's the real deal.
Amen.
So let's get back to, they corrupted all flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it says in Jubilees chapter 7, it says, it came to pass in the first year of the exodus of the children of Edom, the third month, the 16th day, God spoke to Moses saying, come up with me. I will give thee two tablets of stone on the commandments where I've written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses went up. So he talks about this, me and the generations, and then it goes down. Where are we here? And Jubilee, I lost my place.
And we are in Jubilee 7, did you say?
Yeah. No, 5.
Okay.
I was supposed to be in 5. I don't know why I'm in 7.
Okay.
There we go. Observe how the trees covered themselves with green leaves. and you're going, all his works for us. And sometimes this happens when you get different versions. Yeah, that's not it. I'm going to have to look that up. Some of the older books, like if you get a different translation of Enoch, all the chapters and verses are messed up. Similar with Jubilee.
Well, they wrote this just like we do. I mean, you know, you write up something, mm-hmm. and if you're writing a book, for instance, you decide where the chapter is, you know, whatever chapter number or whatever, and verse number. Somebody else did that, but they didn't do that at the time of writing. It's like, you know, okay, this is chapter one.
Yeah, now
verse
one
is, and verse two is. They didn't do that. They just wrote it, and somebody else came along and numbered the stuff later.
Yeah, and different times when different people translate, they put different verse numbers. So I'm just going to read what I have. And it wasn't in my version over there. It's in this
one.
And injustice increased upon the earth, and all flesh corrupted its way, men and cattle and beasts and birds and everything that walks on the earth. All of them corrupted their ways and their orders and began to devour one another. So that aligns with the biblical account. And mm-hmm. we see that all through history. When you look at, especially Egypt, they got the dude with the bird head and then another one with mm-hmm. a dog head and then a lion with wings. You got the Sphinx. Then you got alligator people and and lizard people. And then, you know, the things we know all well and good. So we have... and we'll talk about these later, but we have them today. We know, you know, you go to Starbucks, it's a siren. Well, how do I know it's a siren and not a mermaid? Because a siren has two fins where a mermaid has one. But it's a half fish, half human. Okay. You got centaurs. You got monitors, a bull, half bull. Then you got the satyr, which is a half a goat, half a man. Okay. And then you have all these different things, Anubis, Horus, Seraphads, the Book of the Dead, the Titans. I mean, so many things that we could see that the flesh was corrupted. So we're going to talk a lot about those and see where they are in history. So you can't really deny it. We'll talk about that in the second half. In the meantime, if you really don't like all this stuff, you don't have to listen to it. Just read your Bible.
Right.
But it's going to give you insight. It's going to give you insight. So. Mm-hmm. And why Jesus needs to come, and why Jesus needs to save you, and why he came down to pay for your sins. Amen. So we're going to talk about more of that in the second half. And Lord willing, we'll see you then. Bye.
Imagine a world where faith is fading, where the name of Jesus is rarely spoken. Now more than ever, the message of salvation simply must be shared. At The Last Christian, we are committed to spreading the gospel and preparing hearts for Christ's return. Through our radio shows, Bible teachings, interviews, devotionals, and prayer requests, we reach people across the globe with the truth of God's Word. Your support helps us to continue this vital mission. And as a token of our appreciation, we have special gifts waiting just for you, including exclusive resources designed to strengthen your faith and equip you to share the good news. Visit lastchristian.net today and learn more. Join us, pray with us, and be part of this incredible journey to bring hope to the world. Together, as Christians, we will share the invitation of eternal salvation around the world.
In a world where two kingdoms collide, understanding is key. Join us every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central, for the C2K Report, with hosts Rick Hidalgo and Randy Conway. Discover how to establish your house as an embassy of Christ and navigate the clash of two kingdoms. Learn practical steps towards self-governance, from authentication to setting up your house, and access a wealth of resources in our document library at c2kreport.com. Empower yourself with knowledge and take control of your spiritual and earthly journey. And don't forget to check out shopyourfarm.com, a virtual farmer's market connecting you with quality, faith-based products and services. For more information about the C2K Report, be sure to visit c2kreport.com and shopyourfarm.com.
KRRB, Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Ready to start your day on a new level? Meet Everyday Dose, the coffee alternative that's more than just a caffeine fix. Check out more and grab your first dose at everydaydose.com/hiddenday. Why it's different. Everyday Dose combines premium coffee with brain-boosting ingredients like mushrooms and collagen, giving you focus, energy, and mental clarity without the jitters or crashes. It's the clean energy your body craves. Check out these benefits you'll love. Say goodbye to coffee crashes. Boost your mental clarity and focus. Support your immune system and overall wellness. Feel energized naturally without the anxiety or jitters. Perfect for busy professionals, health enthusiasts, or anyone ready to upgrade their daily routine. Again, that's everydaydose.com/hiddenday.
Welcome back, everybody, to the second half. I'm sorry, David. I'll just interrupt you and just, you know, even though it's your show, I just took it over there for a second.
All right. And Christian News interrupts this program.
But, you know, you mentioned the Maccabees. Okay, now this is a book I've heard of, but I really don't know anything about it. I just know it's there. I've heard of the existence of it, but what is it exactly?
Well, in Brooklyn, they have a group called the Maccabees.
Okay.
And it's a bunch of young Jewish men that sing rap songs, like common ones you knew for each of the holidays, and they're pretty good.
Okay.
The Maccabees. But the Maccabees, Maccabee is actually means hammer.
Okay.
Maccabee. And I'll give you the synopsis. You heard of Hanukkah, right?
Yes, I have.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Hanukkah. Matter of fact, Adam Sandler with the 8 days of Hanukkah.
Didn't Hanukkah and Christmas actually start on the same day this past year?
I don't know. But that's on the Babylonian calendar anyway.
Okay.
So I don't
know. Okay.
In either case, okay, the Maccabees is basically the story. And it's a story of how Hanukkah happened.
Okay.
You know, a synopsis is this. Antiochus Epiphanes came in. Remember the whole story about when the abomination of desolation takes over the holy place?
Mm-hmm.
So we saw this whole thing where he comes in and he sacrifices a pig on the altar and it's all desecration and no one does anything about it. Kind of like America for the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing all sorts of abomination. And finally, these guys got fed up and they called them the Hammers. Because a big family, and then they fought back and they defeated this enemy that came in, and then they all kind of celebrated, but they didn't have, as the legend goes, they didn't have enough oil for, you know, to consecrate the temple again, and they only had one day of oil, but it lasted 8 days. Okay, so there's some, that's kind of where the story goes, but that's, if you read Maccabees, that tells that whole story. Okay, and that's where we get the eight candles, you know, the eight candle with the one candle in the middle.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You got the miracle. And then there's other renditions of it too. And then there's, you know, there's the paganizing of it, just like we paganize Christmas with the birthday.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I can't remember. I was acquainted with it. Well, okay. I'll be honest. I'm married. I've been married twice. Shock. Okay.
At the same time?
I'm married into a Jewish family, mm-hmm. and the so I know a little bit about their traditions and stuff. But the one thing that stood out was the menorah, okay, and mm-hmm. and what I didn't realize that the kids, they get a gift every day of Hanukkah. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. every single day, and. I mentioned that to somebody who had a child, and they were like, the kid was like, and, you know, it's a little bitty kid. Keep that in mind, you know, maybe 5-6 years old. They said, well, why can't we be Jewish? And that way I get a present every day. I only get it on Christmas.
It's not really the same. You're like little trinkets they give them. It's not like, you know, I'm getting a new bicycle every day.
I had to throw that in, David, because that's the only experience that I've got with it. But it lets you know why I do know about Hanukkah and some of the things like that. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and it was basically like a little treat, like a little celebration. Mm. But, yeah, we commercialize it. Yeah, buy a big one. You know, just like Christmas. Why are we buying gifts for each other? It's Jesus' birthday. Yeah. It's like, I don't get it. But anyway, there we are. Just like the two witnesses, they're all going to give gifts to each other. I wonder if they'll be crucified on Christmas. I don't know. But they, yeah, that's Maccabees. And there was, it's kind of a similar thing where here's the Antichrist trying to take over the Temple Mount. And we're going to see that at the end, too, and all fits in with the chimeras. And all of this goes back to the giants back then. The whole reason they wanted to do it is to dominate mankind.
Right.
If they can, if they can corrupt the human seed, then for the Savior couldn't come.
Right.
Because there's no human seed, and the Savior has to be man, because Enoch says it's the Son of Man. So if there is no more genetic code that is pure, then the Savior can't come, and then the devil thinks he won, and it's like, oh, we'll just take over creation now.
Take over the world.
Because you can't come. This is their end game. This is the chess game that they're playing.
Right.
And that's why you need to know about the giants. Well, why do I need to know about the giants? That's why. Because they specifically came down, and that's when God says, you know, all flesh has corrupted itself. He says, and every thought has become evil. I need to do something about this. And then it says Noah was perfect in his generations. Well, that means his genealogy. Noah had pure human DNA still, as did his sons and their sons' wives, all their respective wives.
All right, so, I'm going to jump in here real quick, David, and you'll understand why. For those of you on YouTube, I am letting you know that this Bible study, The Giants in Genesis 6, is being presented in full on Rumble. Unfortunately, due to the restrictions by YouTube, I'm unable to show the whole thing here, but you can jump right over to Rumble. Just look for The Last Christian Radio Show, or look for KRRB, Revelation Radio, and you will find the entire version there for The Giants in Genesis 6, and this is part 3. We hope to see you over there. Sorry we can't present it on YouTube, but again, censorship dominates. David, now back to the study. Go ahead.
Yeah, like when we say CRISPR technology, they don't like it. So, so now we have the same thing that happened back then. God, in his mercy, dumbed down our DNA. He's like, okay, we're going to fix this problem. Now we're not going to live 900 years anymore, okay? And then you start to see it. It went down, and it went to 400, it went to 200, and now we're at where we are today, okay? And that is because now our DNA literally is not strong enough for a number of reasons. You know, the canopy that was over the earth, the flat earthers like to use the firmament. Well, the firmament was there before the flood. It's not there right now. He is going to put it back. When, you know, when he comes and revamps the earth, it's all going to go back again.
Amen.
So we'll see that then. That's going to be fun because people are going to live right through the millennium. So how do you think that's going to happen? Yeah. Well, he's going to restore it to the way it was.
Yeah, that's still, and I don't know if this part of the study or not, but that's still something I'm unclear on as to exactly who is around during the millennium. Because, you know, you've got the Gog-Magog War. You got, you know, Jesus coming back. All the Christians have been raptured, and then we follow Jesus back on the return, the actual second return of Christ. Who's left? You know, and how does that repopulation?
Like half of them are destroyed. So
How does that repopulate? I mean, I know how repopulation happens, obviously, but you know, who's left to repopulate? I don't know if that's a part of this study or if that's something we need to get on another show.
It's a really good one because that kind of leads into it. They try to destroy all the DNA of mankind, okay, and then get rid of all the excess ones because you know there's X amount of them. The Georgia Guidestones say we have to bring it down to 500 million. So I kind of assume there's probably 500 million of these Nephilim hiding in the center of the earth now that's how many bodies they wanted. We'll see.
Okay.
But, you know, in Jubilees, it talks about Mastema, I think, is said, no, no, you got to leave me 10% up here, because 90% of them are locked in the abyss right now. And we see that in Revelation. They'll come out of the abyss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it says a 200 million man army, and they'll come out of the abyss. And, you know, and then we got those chimeras again. You know, they got the face of a woman and a lion, mm-hmm, and they got the mm-hmm. wings like a, they got tails like a scorpion.
Yeah, it's
like
makes, this big it actually makes more sense. You know, I mean, they talk about everything happening millions of years ago and all that kind of crap. But I always wondered how come the Egyptian, what do you call those things? Anyway, they write on the walls, all that. I always wondered.
Yeah.
I was wondering how come, you know, they had these stupid looking heads and all that kind of stuff, and now
they were real.
They were real. They actually saw this, and they were drawing something that actually existed. This wasn't imaginary stuff. This was stuff that was really there. Am I correct in that?
Yeah, that's what they saw.
Okay.
I mean, it was like I said, Anubis was, he had a jackal head.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Horus had a falcon head. Okay. And then Serpopards. Okay. Mm-hmm. Serpopards. He was a giraffe leopard hybrid. Okay.
Now, what are you quoting there? What?
Those Egyptian stuff.
No. From just Egyptian hieroglyphics.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha.
And then they had the Book of the Dead. They had all sorts of creatures guarding the underworld.
Okay.
They say it's guarding the underworld, but the truth is they're stuck in the abyss and they're yelling out, "Hey, help us! Yeah, I'm your god. Come get me out.
Yeah, help me. Yeah, our god doesn't need any help." Okay.
Yeah. Then the Greeks had the centaurs, centaurs, minotaurs, and satyrs. Mm-hmm. So you got the centaurs are half a horse, minotaurs are half bull, and the satyrs are half goat. Okay. So you see, this was talk about all these different things. The reason they're doing that is they're trying to come up with something that the spirits of the dead can live in, the Rephaim, the spirit of the dead. They're stuck in the abyss. They're trying to make something that they could do it. So they were trying to corrupt the DNA so all of them can come out now. Mm-hmm. And what we saw before, God's like, he put the kibosh on that. He's like, no, we're done. That's what happened with Noah. So, and we're going to dumb down your DNA so they can't do it again, because they're going to try and get it. We read in, you know, one of Noah's grandsons found the writings on the rock. Remember?
I believe.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, and Noah's like, destroy that thing. And he's like, oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And then he runs away and he reads it. And then all of a sudden we got Nimrod and Gilgamesh stories and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Because they did the incantations and they allowed these demon spirits to come up, and they became a gibberim.
Yeah, and I can't say it often enough. You know, stay away from those Ouija boards.
Yeah, don't be doing chants.
Yeah, don't do that. You know, I've got a relative out there, and if you're listening, stop trying to call the dead up or look what the dead's doing. You know, going on these missions to. You know, watch movement and haunted houses and all that stuff. Stop it.
Yeah, because you know what they're going to do? They're going to take over your body and they're going to tie your spirit up in a corner. So all you can do is watch them do evil things and destroy your body.
Right.
Not good.
Not good at all. Stop it.
And kind of how it morphed into Hindu is you got Rakshasas and Asuras, and they're demon-like beings, right, capable of shape-shifting and all that stuff. Okay, and then you got the one that's a half a monkey. Mm. Half monkey, half man, but he's a nice guy. Okay.
Never seen
the half monkey
the
dude, he's okay. He's gonna bring you bananas or something. I don't know. The Native Americans, okay? They have the star people, they call them. Mm. And they talk about a time when the star people came down and mated with humans. So they have the same story.
That
we got, because everyone's an offspring of Noah, so they all got the story, and it just kind of morphed in different ways.
Right,
but we have a specific writing of how everything went down. Mm-hmm. Some of those stories get manipulated. So the modern parallel we already talked about is CRISPR, and that's chimeric research and transhumanism.
Right,
and they go under the guise of, oh, we're just you know, we're trying to make humans better so you can live 1,000 years. Wouldn't it be nice to glow in the dark? You wouldn't need any lights in the house.
Cure
Let's
cancer,
mix your
cure,
DNA with a jellyfish.
All kinds of cures coming out. They're making furry mice now. I saw stuff on that not too long ago.
They're trying to put everything in there.
Right.
They even put, they have a robot now, and they made human brain cells that runs a robot. So now, I don't know if that's a sentient person or if it's just brain cells that are working.
Yeah.
But now you got someone that's stuck in a robot.
Mm-hmm.
How evil is that?
Well, that's that transhumanism popping up.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
And that's where we're going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's a reason for that. Because now if they can get people to be hybrids, they're not human, and they're not salvageable because the Son of Man came to save mankind.
It's Satan's same thing as in the days of Noah. He's got one thing he's been trying to do. It failed the first time, and I promise you it will fail the second time. Do not fall for it. Anybody out there, please understand that there's wickedness going on, and they're using science to make it happen. And a lot of scientists are they're just corrupt individuals. They don't believe in God. They believe that they have the power to change everything. And I'm sorry, David, for jumping on you there, but I feel like it's important to get that out there, let people know, you know, science isn't all good.
That's right. Well, it depends. It's a tool, like anything else.
Right.
It's what you
exactly.
do with it.
God invented science, and you've said that several times too.
Yeah, it's like everything we have is just a tool, and it's, you know, the intentions of the heart, really. Right. So we see the corruption of all flesh, and the parallels here is if he can destroy Israel, then the prophecy of Israel becoming saved
is over.
He destroys a prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So to answer your question of who's entering the millennium, well, a third of Jews, number one, because two thirds, according to Zechariah, will be destroyed. There'll be a third of them that are saved and protected through, and they will accept their Savior, and they will be the rulers on the earth through that millennial period. Now, those who are born again now will rule and reign with Him in the heavenlies.
Right. Right.
Okay. Okay. Over the earth as well.
You know, I had never thought about that, David. That one third of Israel, I had never thought about that before. That's perfect. I mean that.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah, and I mean that's at least one third of Israel, but then it does talk about the Gentile nations too. So clearly there'll be some people that, you know, maybe all the preppers we see now, they're
those that did not accept the mark of the beast. And also I would assume, and maybe you correct me if I'm wrong on this, but there are countries that do not participate in that invasion and, you know, everything that's going on. So it's very possible that the people involved in those particular countries could also be involved in the during the tribulation period.
Yeah. Okay. By all the narrative, about half of the earth will be destroyed, which is an awful lot of people, but there'll be some left.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. And clearly it's the ones who did not take the mark of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's a really good point. Everyone thinks the entire world's going to take it. You can't buy or sell. That's their goal. But there's going to be places where, you know, you could do it. It's going to be those renegade places that don't want anything to do with the government.
Right.
That's why the Battle of Armageddon is taking place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They're gathering against each other. It's these people that are the one worlders gathering together and then fighting against the people who say, no, we don't want a one world thing. But there's still... You know, I'd hate to use Russia because, you know, maybe there's some saved people there, but Russia doesn't want to be part of the one world government.
Mm-hmm.
But then you got the one world government that says, no, you have to. So there's two evil nations, if you would, coming against each other. But then when they see Jesus coming, they're like, oh, let's all join forces and fight against Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. And, you know, not to call Russia out, but this just as an example.
Mm-hmm.
There will be evil nations on both sides, maybe even several sides that are all coming to fight each other. But then when they see the greater threat, like Reagan said, we see someone coming from Earth, we're all going to have to get together. If they're coming from outer space to Earth, we're going to have to join forces.
Yeah.
And that's what happens at Armageddon. They're all going to join forces.
Independence Day is the movie that jumps out in my mind. You know.
Okay.
But yeah. Okay. All right. Go ahead, David. I'm sorry to take you off course.
So we see this transhumanism. So it's going to try and destroy Israel simultaneously, messing with their DNA and trying to get people where they, you have to take this mark or else you can't buy or sell. Okay. Problem is, if you take the mark, you can't be saved. Well, how is that possible? They didn't know anything about, you know, genetics and stuff like that back then, other than, you know, the sins of the father visited unto the third and the fourth generation. They understood that. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't until the 1950s that we found a DNA code. Mm-hmm. They're like, wait a minute. There's a computer code inside all of our cells.
And I'm assuming that the mark corrupts that.
Yes. And that's what CRISPR technology is all about. Hey, let's put this DNA code in there because that'll fix your eyes. Wouldn't you like to have blue eyes and can see again? Okay. Or, you know, and but they're like, oh, this pig over here, they have similar things and they can do this. So let's put some pig DNA in you.
Yeah.
So now you're part of an abominable flesh. And this is what happened. So they're selling it as a good thing. I mean, even my father, he got a replacement valve in his heart that they actually got from a pig. And it just took that and it's like, and then they had a little pacemaker in there and it would make this little thing work and it lasted. It didn't change his DNA, but it's a step in that direction.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, instead of me having to kill a pig for this, why don't we just inject you with his DNA?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Here we come with the synthetic stuff and the man-made stuff. You know, that's really where you're going to. Oh, my goodness.
So we see all these things. And then, you know, because they're messing with the flesh, we see gnomes. You've seen the gnomes, right? So when you have different, basically morphed and corrupted human flesh. So now we've seen the mixing of the fleshes.
Right.
Okay. And even Gilgamesh said he was two-thirds divine. I don't know how that happens. How do you get two-thirds? Is that half and half? but we see like fairies. Remember fairies?
Right.
Little Tinkerbell. Oh, look, Tinkerbell's so cute. Yeah. No, it's a demon. Hello. And all the gnomes that we see. And, you know, we got the guys that live under the bridges. Dwarves came there. And then that's where all the legends come from in, was it Narnia or Lord of the Rings? And they got all the different people. And they have second breakfast. I'm all for second breakfast, but and then the really tall, the elves, which are like super tall and thin, they were all hybrids. Okay, and morphing of it, and that's where all the story comes from. That's where they all come from. So we see that parallel in the human animal hybrids. That's really just scary.
Yeah.
Because if they can corrupt the DNA, get rid of Israel, they think they're going to take over. That's why they open the abyss.
Right.
Oh, listen, we're almost there. So we see the scorpions. They come out and they sting man, and then they can't stand the pain, but they're alive for 5 months, right? They torture them for 5 months. Well, why 5 months? So some people surmise, and they've proven that that's the shortest amount of gestation period you can have for a baby.
So
they're thinking these scorpion things are actually injecting, like, and that's where we get into all the alien stuff that we have these days. All right. You know, I got a friend who refers to the grays as meat sacks. They're just programmed and they tell them what to do. So they capture people and they're, you know, you ever notice when they're captured, they're always messing with the reproduction.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Well, in every case.
Why are you doing that? Because they're trying to make their own half-breeds. So here you got the Fallen Watchers, and they create these meat sacks. This is how the story goes with them. And then and those meat sacks are doing all these experiments because they can operate in the physical realm as well as go back and forth into the spiritual realm. And they're trying to create some kind of offspring. So they they do the babies, and you know, you see ladies that say, "Oh, I was impregnated, and then they came back and got me and took the baby," and you think these people are crazy. But when you read the Bible story, maybe they're not so crazy. Who knows?
Yeah.
Because it says, you know, they were tortured for 5 months. What does that mean? That's about when they took these babies out. And then we see the same story before. They had the babies, and then a lot of the historical records suggest that the women were butchered at that time to take their Nephilim babies out, and then they just became more and more evil. Let's touch on this. We can finish this up,
okay?
And then we'll do the rest of it on the next show. But remember the whole six fingers and stuff?
Oh, yeah. Six fingers, six toes, guys. Yeah.
And you see the elongated skulls. L.A. Marzulli has all of those with the elongated skulls and the different people. They go around to all these different places. Now, America, they pretty much, when the ones they found, you know, people like the Smithsonian and different things have hid them. There's all sorts of history. Hey, we found a giant over here, and we found this skull, and we got these mounds. Oh, no, the Indians built that. And the Indians are like, no, we didn't build that. No, we tell you who built it. The Star People. I told you, Star People came down, and they talk about these giants that they had. And they were redheaded giants, too, at the time. On the Americas, redheaded giants, and they had six fingers and six toes. And they were huge. Wild Bill Cody even has it in his thing where he says they were so big they can pick up a buffalo in one arm, tear off a limb of the buffalo and eat it while running.
Oh, wow.
That's how big and strong these things were. And that's why they had to trick them into different things, and they trapped them in caves and set fires and all sorts of stories of these giants that they had. But and how it goes is when they'd go like this, you know, we Hollywoodized it, and they says, "Oh, how?"
Yeah.
No, they would hold up their hand to because prove, you can count the fingers.
Yeah, to prove they weren't. Yeah, I got you.
Right.
Yeah, makes sense.
So they'd hold, I am not one of these offspring, because the babies would be the size of humans, so they would hold up the hand to see which ones are bad. And they stole kids, and they do the same thing. They stole the women, and they stole the babies, and they'd sacrifice them and all sorts of stuff. So we have that in the Native Americans, the Mahabharata, this ancient Hindu. They called Kumbhakarna. He was a giant, so he had that. We see stories of that too. The Epic of Gilgamesh from Mesopotamia, all the Mayans. The Mayans had their big one, Popol Vuh. And then the Book of the Giants from the Dead Sea Scrolls tells the whole story. The Talmud, they have it. Josephus, he had stories. He says, hey, yeah, and the giants. Yeah, there's one over here. We could go see it. They had a museum with a giant in it. Mesopotamia, the Greek mythology had the Titans, the Cyclops. We all know the Cyclops. The Norse, you know, even I have legends in my own ancestry of the giants, the Norse giants, you know, and one of them was named Frosty the Snowman. That's a good story. Native American tribes, the Mayans, the Celtics, African, Chinese, Europe, all over the place.
Just everywhere.
All over the world, there's stories of these giants. Easter Island, that's a fun one. There's giants over there. Okay. So we'll get more into this next time. Before all these giants come and take over and steal your DNA, I would suggest that you receive the blood contract of Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said he came to pay for your sins. And if you believe in him, you can go to heaven with him. So I would highly suggest that. And Lord willing, if we're still here, we will see you guys in the next show. You have a blessed day.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.